You are listening to Carolina Catholic Radio, Charlotte, 1270 AM. Also, the Carolina Catholic Media Network, streaming at carolinacatholicradio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media app. We're also broadcasting across the Radio Maria radio broadcasting area. So welcome all Radio Maria listeners to this brand new edition of Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio and Radio Maria. I'm Chris, their producer, and of course, your host, the one, the only, Dr. John Aquaviva.
Folks, welcome to the show, wherever, whenever, however you're listening to us. Either way, thank you for joining us. I knew the studio audience was there, but they just put up the curtain a little late. Thank you, folks, for showing up. In any regard, Radio Maria, Carolina Catholic Radio, we're thankful that you joined us today. This is Faith and Sport. I'm an exercise physiologist. I teach exercise physiology and exercise science-related courses like anatomy and physiology, strength and conditioning, and so forth at Wingate University. But every once in a while, I come into the studio and we talk about faith and sport. And this is where we apply our faith, ethics, character, morality to the world of sport. So it doesn't matter what level we're talking about, Little League through the Olympics and the pro levels. We talk about all those issues, character, morality, and ethics as it applies to the world of sport. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to start off by talking about our hit and miss. We do that each and every week. This is no exception. And the guest for the first half of our show is Dr. Jerry R. McDermott, professor of theology and philosophy, longtime professor in those areas, author of 24+ books, including Everyday Glory and The Great Theologians, A Brief Guide. He's going to join us for a conversation dealing directly with today's hit or miss. In the second half of the show, Taylor Kemp, a former professional soccer player, he's going to join us on the phone. He's a convert to the faith, Catholic speaker. He's an author of his own book, Athletic Spirituality, Lessons from the Field. Then we're going to end the whole thing with a quick Q&A with Dr. A. If we have time, Chris is going to shoot a couple questions at us. Before we bring Dr. Gerald R. McDermott on, brother, how you doing? How was your weekend? How was everything with you?
Well, I had a little bit of a disappointing weekend. I was hoping my Wolfpack would come out on top and get a win over the Tar Heels, but
it just
didn't
couldn't do it. We watched that
work out, but I was really happy to hear that Tequavion is already recovering and doing well, and it sounds like he's going to be able to play against Notre Dame tomorrow night.
There you
so
go.
I was really glad to hear that because he took a hard hit there when he was trying to go to the basket. And one of the Tar Heel players just came down on him really hard with the forearm.
Let me ask this. If it's NC State against Duke or NC State against North Carolina, and you could win one of those two games in basketball, who do you want to see them beat more, Duke or North Carolina?
North Carolina.
You didn't even hesitate.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, brother, I think we're both in the same spot with me being a Michigan fan, you being an NC State fan. You may be in a better position, but I want to say they're about the same quality team, mm-hmm. and I think they're both going to, if they do get into the tournament, they're going to sneak into the tournament. But either way, it's good to have a team that's over 500. That's the way I look at it. Brother, it's good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Thank you for everything you do for Carolina Catholic Radio and Radio Maria, brother.
Glad to do it. Have a lot of fun doing this show. And
no, I know. We this is a ride. I always get energy. When I know I'm going to the studio, do the show, see you, and do this, I love it.
But
so,
the thing about it is it's not quite the same if we don't have
I know.
Ed Billick
or,
sitting over
or
there.
Jason.
Or
I know.
Jason,
it's fantastic. All right, let's do this. Let's bring our guest on, Jerry McDermott, PhD. Bring him on. I'll say hi to him, and then we're going to get into a conversation with him. But I'm first going to talk about our hit or miss, and that's going to lead into our conversation. Dr. McDermott, welcome to Faith and Sport.
Thank you, John. It's always good to be on with you.
I know, brother. You are suddenly becoming one of our most faithful guests. I ask you to come on the show. You do it. I love that. You always have great stuff to say. So let's do this. Each and every show we have, I always do, whoever the special guest is in studio, we do what's called the hit or miss, something that's good or bad in the world of sport that I want to bring light to. I want to mention my hit of the week, and it's going to bleed right into our conversation. One of the reasons I'm bringing you on the show. And then you can make direct commentary on this hit or miss. And then, again, we'll just have a conversation, and I think it'll be good, and it's going to be fun. My hit or miss, it's a hit, and it comes from the state of West Virginia. And this is a recent ruling by a district court judge by the name of Joseph Goodwin, in which West Virginia has banned transgender athletes in competing in female sports. And he's saying it, the ban is constitutional and will remain in place. Now, this is one of many that have already been instituted. In other words, 18 states have passed these bills, and 37 states total of those, of the 37, 18 have actually passed the bills. But the good news is 37 states total have introduced bills to ban transgender athletes unless they compete under what they are identified as birth. And of course, like he says, this district court judge, this is not only about simple biology, but it's about fairness for women's sports, plain and simple. Opportunities for girls and women on the field are precious, and we must safeguard that future. The only thing I'd like to add to what he said is it goes beyond fairness. This is kind of a random subjective term, and this is justice, certainly in God's eyes. I think you would agree that this is a win. This is a big hit. But let me ask this. Why is Jerry McDermott, the transgender athlete, and the whole transgender movement so problematic?
It's problematic because it goes against common sense. Catholics would say it goes against natural law, and that's why it's against common sense, because natural law is something that God has put onto the hearts and minds of all human beings before they push it out of themselves because of propaganda.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's only common sense that this swimmer, who really is a man and claims to be a woman, was beating all these women swimmers. It is obvious to anyone who consults their common sense, which God has put within them, that a man should not be allowed to compete for prizes and for awards in swimming against women.
That's right. Yeah, Jer, one of the issues, of course, is that I think they kind of, the advocates of this, you know, saying that transgenders should be able to compete really in, you know, regardless of the sex that they're born with. And the reason it becomes confusing, to for lack of a better word, because it goes against the very argument they were making just a couple years ago. In other words, Title IX was saying that women should have just as many opportunities as men, both in high school, at the college level, and so forth. And then that very law, this very policy that was put into place, shatters the glass of that whole movement, because now they're saying, you know, that this transgender, you know, the transgender athlete should be able to compete against women when literally just a year ago they were males. And flesh out more of this natural law. I think a lot of Catholics, I think a lot of Christians hear of this term, but explain this to us and explain it maybe using some examples and weave this into our conversation about the transgender athlete. What is natural law?
Well, natural law is the law that God has put into nature.
What would be an example?
By our reason. So, for instance, we sense when we look around us that a man who is born with a penis, for getting graphic, a human being who is born with a penis and whom we happen to know from modern science has male hormones, and a little human being that's born with a vagina and we know from modern science has female hormones, that the first is a boy and the second is a girl.
Yeah.
That's the way God has made them. Now, that's what nature tells us. Nature is giving us a law there. The law happens to be from God because God's the creator of nature.
Yeah.
And that law happens to totally agree with what he reveals in the Bible. But you don't have to have the Bible. You just have to look at nature.
That's right.
God has created to teach that boys are boys and girls are girls, no matter what they think in their head. No matter what the culture has told them. So sex is biological. Gender is rooted in sex. Gender, which is all about my feelings about what I think I am,
yeah,
and might be contrary to the sex that I was born with, law teaches us that that doesn't make sense, that that our sex is not based on our feelings. Our sex is based on the way we've been made and therefore the hormones that we've been given.
Folks, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Gerald R. McDermott, longtime theologian and philosophy professor. He's the author of many books, including Israel Matters, Famous Stutters. In fact, you could check out all his books on Amazon. Just put in Gerald R. McDermott. Folks, you're listening to Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. Jerry, you know, you mentioned, I like the way you started this whole conversation, and you said it just makes sense for that judge, for instance, in West Virginia to say, oh, if you were born a girl, you compete against girls. If you're born a guy, you compete against guys.
Common sense.
Yes, that's right. And I think along that spectrum, you would probably agree. I remember Benedict XVI wrote an encyclical. He wrote some type of statement. I think it was in part of an encyclical in which he stated that you can come to know God just through reason only. And this is an extension of that, isn't it? In other words, this whole conversation that we're having, and when we include natural law and reason and common sense, all melts together when we talk about this issue, doesn't it?
Yes, because just as we can come to know that there is a God and some things about what he's like from nature alone, using reason, so too we can learn about sexuality by looking at nature and by using reason alone. And that's how human beings in all societies have done for thousands of years, and all societies have ruled out this idea of trans. It's only because we have some people who are resisting common sense in the universities that we have been brainwashed into thinking that trans is a real thing, that we can change our sexuality.
Yeah, and Jerry, it goes beyond, though, the universities and the colleges, even though I know that a lot of arrows have pointed that way, but it's also mainstream media and people on social media and so forth. And do you agree with this, that it's a fair statement to say that even on the left, people who really have either not embraced this or they do embrace it, but not with a great deal of vigor, there are a few, and maybe even it's safe to say just a small percentage of people who have taken, the Democratic Party or just people who think this way kind of hostage and almost forcing them to think this way. In other words, if you are on the left, if you're a Democrat, whatever the case is, I don't really mean to bring politics into it, but it seems like they've taken hostage of everybody and says everybody must march to this, you know, to this drummer. And if you don't, you're not with us, or there's like evil present. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yes. It's become quite totalitarian in the way it is treated. We are told that if we don't agree with them, we are full of hate.
Yeah.
And we're not using reason properly. And by the way, I started with the universities because that's where it started. It started in the universities. And
yeah.
It's trickled down now to corporate America, to the media, to sports.
Right.
So yes, they've been totalitarian in their methods, and that's why that's the way a Marxist government is.
That's right.
There is no God, and so the party is what decides right and wrong and truth and falsehood. And you must agree, or you're against the people, you're against the party. And if you have, if your reasoning leads you to different conclusions, then you are anti-society. So it uses that kind of
rhetoric.
Method,
yeah,
to threaten people into submission. And I know many, many leftists who disagree with trans.
That's right.
But if they speak out, they are not listened to. Or they're afraid to speak up.
That's right, yeah. And sometimes they're even hated publicly and so forth.
Yeah.
Folks, we're
yeah.
speaking with Dr. Jerry McDermott, longtime professor of theology and philosophy, author of many books. In this break, listen to the break, but at the same time, check out all his books online. We're going to go to break. Jerry, hang with us. We got more to talk about regarding this trans issue, the truth, I want to get into moral issues in Scripture and so forth. So hang with us, my friend. We'll be right back right here on Faith and Sport.
Hello, my name is Ray Haywood, and I'm coming to you today to speak to you about the Fraternity of St. Joseph Men's Group, a men's group that was started under the leadership of Father Matthew Codd by the intentional men of the parish of St. Thomas Aquinas here in our Diocese of Charlotte, North Carolina. In our first efforts, we were asked if we would model our men's group in a way that other parishes could simply follow. With that intent in mind, we created the FSJJourneyman.com website. On that website, you can find all that is needed to create your own chapter of the Fraternity of St. Joseph Men's Group in your parish, as well as resource documents that we are intentionally placing into our faith community. We hope that you will step closer to the path and to each other in the just model of St. Joseph as you consider creating your own chapter of the Fraternity of St. Joseph Men's Group.
Faith and charity are key elements of life, but are they at the center of your retirement planning and life insurance decisions? Knights of Columbus, a trusted organization with a proud history of more than 140 years of helping its members, can help Catholic families with insurance and retirement planning solutions. Most importantly, we do this in a way that is compatible with Catholic teaching and the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Investment Guidelines. Today, we have expanded our offerings to include retirement annuities, long-term care insurance, and disability income insurance. Beyond the benefits of financial protection, members may take satisfaction in knowing that Knights of Columbus contributes to causes that align with Catholic moral teaching. Let your faith inspire your financial decisions. Terms and conditions apply. Learn more by calling Field Agent Bob Gordon at 516-551-7838.
Oh, man, how can you have a show and not love it if the Beatles are in there? It doesn't even matter what I say. It doesn't matter what our guests say, even though they're fantastic. This is a great show just because it has the Beatles in it. Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. We are in a discussion with theology and philosophy professor Gerald R. McDermott. And before we continue that conversation with him, listen, if you have a comment about the show, if there's somebody that you think I should have as a guest on the show, if you disagree with something on the show, I want to hear from you. Either way, and there's a couple ways that you can get in touch with me. You can tweet me at j.aquaviva1, that's the number one, j.aquaviva, or you can just simply email me, and it couldn't be easier. Well, actually, it could be easier, but it's pretty simple. faithandsport@wingate.edu. Just like it sounds, the and is A-N-D, faithandsport@wingate.edu. All right, let's get back to our discussion with Jerry McDermott, PhD. Jerry, we're talking about truth. We're talking about scripture. We're talking about the truth is, revealed in scripture and so forth. In this whole issue with the transgender athlete and so forth, let me ask you this, Jerry. How do we find the truth? In other words, there are listeners. I am sure that there are hundreds, thousands of people listening to this show right now, and they're like, yes, and their world is clouded when it comes to knowing what God's word is. Should we start with scripture? Should we start with some online source? Is it through prayer, a combination? What say you, theologian Jerry McDermott?
Well, let's first say that it is dangerous to get our truth from our surrounding culture.
Yes.
Look, in 2008, Barack Obama, the presidential candidate then, before his first four-year term when he was running,
yep,
president,
yep,
he was asked about gay marriage. He said, I'm against gay marriage,
yeah,
not true marriage. Well, just a few years later, he was for gay marriage.
Yep.
it's a form of mental illness.
Yeah.
Well, you know, flip ahead just a few years, and Barack Obama changes that, and most elite culture changes that a few years later on trans.
Yeah.
And now anyone who opposes what they, what Barack Obama himself said back in 2008, if we oppose now what he said in 2008, we are full of hate and we are dumb. So we cannot rely on our culture. The lesson we should learn is that there's only one place to go for reliable truth, and that's God himself. And how does God tell us his truth about human nature, things like sexuality and marriage and trans? Well, he tells us these things through the Bible, and he's given the Bible to the church, or the church has given us the Bible.
Yeah.
And the church has given us, and in the Catholic Church, the magisterium gives us the Holy Spirit-inspired interpretation of Scripture. And when we go to Scripture on questions like trans, we see at the very beginning of the Bible, in the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27,
yep,
it says, male and female, he created them. So human beings are sexually dimorphic.
That's right.
They aren't transmorphic. They aren't multiple morphic in all different genders and sexualities. No, there's only two, male and female.
Yeah.
And Jesus himself reaffirmed this. In Matthew 19, when the Pharisees asked him about divorce, which was the big debate then, today it's trans, then it was divorce, Jesus brought them back to the beginning of the Bible, to Genesis 1. And in fact, he quotes Genesis 1:27. In Matthew 19, verse 40, he says, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? So God makes every human being coming into the world, either male or female, sexually. And it's up to God what their inner essence is sexually. It's not up to them. Now, the trans movement says it's up to them. It's up to how they feel. And we should accept whatever they say they feel is their true sexuality. Well, Scripture says, the church teaches, that no, their own will does not determine their essence. God's will determines their essence.
Folks, we're talking with Gerald R. McDermott here on Faith and Sport, Carolina Catholic Radio, and it's co-production of Radio Maria. However you're joining us, whenever you're joining us, we thank you. We're having a conversation with Dr. McDermott about the trans movement, about Scripture and truth and so forth. Jer, this is it's a wider question, and I thought you articulated that well for quoting Genesis and then quoting Matthew, and in particular Jesus' words, in which he reiterates what's said in Genesis to clarify this issue on the trans movement and so forth. And of course, this is bleeded into the world of sport. And thankfully, there's wisdom speaking through these state bans. 37 of the 50 states have introduced bills, and 18 of those 37 have passed those bills. So trans athletes cannot compete in sport unless they are going to compete of the sex that's written on their birth certificate. So this question, and this is a great question for a theologian like you, Jerry. So it's going to kind of transcend or go beyond our topic at hand. But are all moral issues, in particular moral issues of the day, discussed in Scripture? In other words, are all our answers in Holy Scripture, Jerry?
I would say the basic principles that are at the root of all the important questions that are in public and in politics especially can be found in Scripture. All the basic principles.
So, some examples, like abortion. So beyond sex, beyond
abortion,
the transgender.
You know, the question of abortion, which is huge today. We just had the March for Life on Saturday in Washington, D.C.
That's right.
One party supposedly did much better than was expected in the midterm elections because they highlighted the overthrow of Roe v. Wade as dangerous democracy.
That's right.
And many, many 20 and 30 somethings believe that and voted for that party, which is very much pro-abortion and celebrates abortion as a gift,
That's right.
as a right for women. That is so. But Scripture is very clear on abortion. You know, Psalm 139, which Jonathan Rumi, who plays Jesus in The Chosen, spoke quite stirringly, quite eloquently, and I recommend that people watch it. His 16-minute speech on Friday in D.C. Psalm 139 speaks to this.
And yeah.
David says that you created me in my mother's womb, and he uses the word for a fetus there. And I was fearfully and wonderfully made by you, O God, in my mother's womb.
Yeah.
So God is the one who makes every little baby in pregnancy. And Jesus himself was created by God through the Holy Spirit as a little fetus in his mother's womb. So this is a little human being.
Yeah.
The scripture is absolutely clear. And there was plenty of abortion, by the way, in the first century in the early church. And the church and the Jews were the only people who spoke against the overwhelming number of abortions in the first century A.D. in the Roman Empire.
Wow.
And it was only the Jews, and it was only the early Christian movement that said, no, every single baby who's been created in the womb is a human being made in the image of God, and we have no right to kill it.
What about war? I know this is a really complex issue, going to war, defending in war. Is the basis of just war theory, does that come directly from Scripture?
Yes, it does. I mean, Thomas Aquinas is one of the greatest articulators of just war theory, and he, like everyone else, like St. Augustine, who also taught just war, that many wars are unjust, but some wars are just.
Yeah,
the Christian can support the just war and can fight in a just war. Look, those of your listeners who have read the Bible, who read the Bible recently, know the Bible's full of war.
Yeah, that's right.
In the Old Testament, God is not uncommonly sending his people to war.
Yeah.
So that's very clear. And in the New Testament, Paul famously says in Romans 13, that Caesar does not bear the sword in vain. Now, the sword was the instrument of war and the instrument of capital punishment, both.
Yeah.
And he commends, praises Caesar for the times when he has to use the sword in order to keep public peace. And the later Christian tradition, lifted up especially by Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas, taught that a just war is primarily a defensive war. When your country is unjustly attacked by another country that wants to gobble it up, it is just to defend yourselves militarily against the aggressor.
Folks, we're talking with Gerald R. McDermott, a longtime professor of theology and philosophy. He's also the author of several books. Got to check those out, including Everyday Glory, The Great Theologians, A Brief Guide. And his biggest question, Jerry, I can ask you, we're talking about truth, we're talking about our all matters and moral issues of the day discussed in Scripture, we're talking about the transgender movement, especially as it relates to sport, but his biggest question is, I can ask you, Jerry, how are the Boston Red Sox going to do this coming season? Now, it's unbelievable, it's January, but we can say at this point, next month, baseball begins, because that's when pitchers and catchers report. What's your overall feeling, what's your gut feeling about how the Red Sox are going to do?
Now, this is a profoundly theological question, John, that is just beyond the limits of my little finite mind. And I'm not sure I can answer that, but I can tell you what my wife used to say.
What did she say?
Back before 2004, was it, when the Red Sox
that's
won
right.
the first of their modern World
that's
World
right.
Series.
What did she say?
And I had been a Red Sox fan for, 50 years. Always lost in the clinch.
That's right. They broke
they
your heart.
Lost, but we would always hope.
Yeah, that's right.
And we would never give up.
And Jerry, remind
would,
remind our listeners what the three theological virtues are?
Faith, hope, and love. So hope. So right. Jean would always tell the many, many, many young women who would complain, where are all the good men? You know, especially Christian young women, Catholic young women, they're all the good men. You know, there's such wimps out there. Or I'm being courted by two or three guys. You know, how do I decide? And Jean would always say, if there are no good men on the horizon, wait, be patient. Wait for a Boston Red Sox fan because they never give up.
I love that. Boy, did she have wisdom, brother. And you guys are a perfect fit for each other. My brother, we're going to go into a break. We'll put a comma on this conversation. I'll have you on again. Some other thing will jump up in our purview, and I'll bring you back on. Before you go, I mentioned that you've written a lot of books. But, Jerry, when I was over your house a couple weeks ago, you shared with me this huge book that you're finishing. Tell the listeners what they can look forward to, because I think you're about to send it to the publisher for, and it's going to go into print soon. Tell us the name of that book and when we can expect this new book to come out.
Well, I sent it to the publisher before Thanksgiving, so it usually takes about a year. It'll probably hopefully be published around Thanksgiving to Christmas.
Fantastic. And what's it called?
2023. My proposed title, and publishers always have the last word on titles, so my proposed title is Jesus Through the Millennia, How the Jewish Messiah Has Been Redeeming the World, from Eden to the New Jerusalem. And so it's the story of redemption from the creation all the way up to the new heavens and the new earth, with Israel at the center and the Jewish Messiah redeeming all along the way.
Something to look forward to, folks, for sure. Gerald R. McDermott, thank you for being a great witness to the Christian faith, and thank you for being on Faith and Sport today, brother, and we'll talk soon.
My pleasure, John. Thank you.
See you, Jerry. Folks, like I mentioned, the author of many books, including that one's coming up on Jesus, but also check him online. He has a couple online articles, including the journal called First Things. Listen, we have another interview coming up in just a couple minutes. He is Taylor Kemp, former professional soccer player and convert to the faith. Stay with us here on Faith and Sport. Come back after the break, and we'll have another conversation with a different guest. Thank you for joining us today, folks, on Faith and Sport.
Hi, everyone. It's Jason Murphy for the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas and the Obligation Radio Show here on the Carolina Catholic Media Network. Registration is now open for the 13th annual Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas to be held on March 18th, 2023 at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church. It's going to be an amazing day of faith, fellowship, and prayer. Of course, we'll be joined, as always, by our own Bishop Peter Jugas of the Diocese of Charlotte. We also have a great lineup of speakers, including Charles Frawney. Charles is the author of Slaying Dragons, What Exorcists See, and What We Should Know. He's going to be there to discuss spiritual warfare. Also joining us, Jonathan Fanning. He is an author, speaker, an entrepreneur, and a father. Coming to us from High Point, North Carolina, the Diocese of Charlotte, is Deacon John Clark. Deacon is a former NYPD SWAT officer and former MMA fighter. You won't want to miss this one. Scott Wieman is going to be another one of our speakers. He is with Catholic in Recovery. He's going to talk to us about addiction and recovery for Catholics. And our MC this year will be Kevin Spaulding. Kevin is a speaker, an author, and business life coach. You can go online now to www.catholicmenofthecarolinas.org. Make sure to use the promo code RADIO and save $5. We look forward to seeing you there on this awesome day full of faith, fellowship, and prayer. For the Catholic Men's Conference, Carolinas, the Obligation Radio Show, my name is Jason Murphy. God bless, and Esto Vir.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Faith and Sport. You're listening to Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. Wherever, whenever, however you are listening, we are thankful for that. Joining us in 1 minute is Taylor Kemp, former professional soccer player, a convert to the faith, a Catholic speaker. In fact, him and I have a couple things in common, but in particular, other than being what I would consider faithful, we are both Catholic speakers. He is available through CatholicSpeakers.com. So through this interview, check out his page on CatholicSpeakers.com. And this man is energetic. He's on fire for the faith. He's going to have a whole lot to say to speak to our audience. Before we bring him on, I want to do what I always do, and that is encourage you, the listener, to send me stuff. If there's something you, article or a topic you want to see me address or hear me address, I would appreciate that. And you can contact me one of two ways. You can tweet me at j.aquaviva1. That's the number one, j.aquaviva1. Or you can simply email me at faithandsport@wingate.edu, as in Wingate University. So it's Faith and Sport, A-N-D's in there, at wingate.edu. Let's bring on our guest, man. I've been looking forward all week to having him on. He's got a terrific story to tell, and he's one of the many people on this show that played at the highest level in his sport and yet is faithful, and that's one of the reasons I have athletes and former athletes like this on, is because I think they're a great inspiration to our listener, in particular, our youth. He is Taylor Kemp. Taylor, welcome to Faith and Sport, brother.
John, it's great to be on. Excited to chat for a little bit.
It's fantastic. Okay, yes. So you're a convert to the faith, and I always like to ask the convert or the revert, who was or what was the most influential experience for you in helping you to convert to the faith?
Yeah, I would say that I had a really wonderful RCIA teacher. So for all of those DREs out there and RCIA teachers, I had one that made a huge impact on me. So I was one who found myself in RCIA pretty reluctantly when I was 25 years old. It was in the middle of my playing career for DC United.
Yeah.
And I didn't really want to be there, and wasn't really planning on seeing the whole thing through. I kind of just was going to go for a little bit and then drop out. And I had an incredible teacher. His name is Father Thomas Joseph White. He is, believe it or not, he's actually the rector of the Angelicum in Rome now. He was at the time at the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C., and I was at a parish on Capitol Hill. And our DRE was friends with him, and he taught our RCA class, and he was just an incredible teacher that really broke down a lot of walls for me.
Yeah.
Looking back, it's hard to make sense of my conversion without him.
And Taylor, up until that point, you said that you kind of did it reluctantly, joined RCA. Was it a push from a friend? Like, did a friend say, hey, come along to this journey with me? Maybe not. You'll become Catholic. Was it a gal that you were dating? What was the – something had to get you started just in getting involved in RCIA?
Yeah, it was a girl. So it's funny, the Father Thomas Joseph, he had a great line, because the first day of RCIA class, we all went around and said kind of a quick 2 minutes on how we got there. And
sure.
I was not alone in the room, that it was because of – it was my girlfriend at the time. She's now my wife.
Awesome.
And there was many other people in the room. There was guys who kind of reluctantly said, oh, my girlfriend made me come. And he goes, God is not afraid to use many a pretty woman to bring a man into his church.
That's right. You're one of many, Taylor. I appreciate that. And, oh, yeah, I've seen it on both sides, right? Guys bring their girlfriends in, girls bring their boyfriends in, and it's the start of great Catholicism. And I bet you would – know exactly what I'm talking about. My mom, who I think is very wise, has always said that one of the pillars that the Catholic Church stands on are their converts. And because so many of us cradle Catholics, we do what we do, and sometimes we don't know why we do it. But the convert, they know why we do what we do, at least in most cases. And sometimes they are the best professors of the faith. And you're that way. And after that, you went and got a master's degree in theology, right?
Yeah, that's correct, from the Augustine Institute.
Awesome. And what was the best part of your study there? Like, what was the best part of either reading about the history of Christianity or, in particular, Catholicism, that just kind of like further set you on fire?
I mean, it's hard to say. The Augusta Institute had a huge impact on me. So I came through the RCIA process, and it opened up a whole world to me. I didn't grow up religious, so
Got it. It
opened up a whole world to me that I had never heard before, and I was just blown away. And so I really fell in love with reading and studying theology, and so I eventually had some good friends that advised that I should find some guided learning. That's how I found the Augusta Institute, which has a great online program. That was the primary reason I chose it.
Sure.
And then it just completely changed my whole life. There's just incredible professors here. And something that really happened to me in that time is I loved learning, which I knew, but then I started doing Bible studies with my teammates, and I started doing a little bit of speaking, and I started doing a little bit of teaching at parishes. And I discovered a very deep love of passing on the faith in all different kinds of circumstances. And so it was through my studies at the Augustine Institute that I came to desire, when soccer was going to come to a close, yeah. I realized I really would love to teach the faith. And that's kind of how I came to have my job now. But the Augustine Institute gave me a lot. I mean, I consider myself very much, I was kind of a blank slate,
yeah.
especially because I didn't have much of a religious education growing up.
Sure.
And then they kind of filled that with just this incredible formation, a love of the Lord and prayer that I'm just incredibly grateful for.
Good for you, brother. I'm so thankful for your story. I'm thankful that you're on the show today. Folks, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Faith and Sport. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva. Our guest today is Taylor Kemp, former Major League Soccer player, convert to the faith. He holds a master's degree in theology, but he's also... he continues this fire he has for the faith and our Lord. He is the director of Formed in the Denver metropolitan area. Taylor, tell us what Formed is and tell us what that means that you're the director of it in that area.
So Formed is a Catholic, it's a faith-based streaming platform for video and audio content. You can find it, you can just Google Formed Catholic or type in watch.form.org, and you can see it for yourself. But it's a product of the Augustine Institute, and it's created to help serve the church at all levels. So whether that's dioceses or parishes or individuals or kids, we're seeking to create in-house here and work with other groups that are creating great things in the Catholic Church and trying to basically get it out to as many people as possible. So on Forms, you can find kids' shows that are family-friendly, faith-friendly. You can find Bible studies to nourish your faith. You can find sacramental preparation programs for parishes, from baptism to the Eucharist to even, we just released a series called Eternal Rest, The Art of Dying Well, which is to help prepare people for the passing of life, either their own
sure.
Or those they know, or mourning. You can find devotional things that walk through the scriptures. You can find recorded rosaries. You can find movies on the saints. So there's a lot on there, and the goal of Formed is to help be a resource for people around the Catholic world, helping them deepen their faith.
Awesome. Taylor, help me, let's flesh this out a little bit more, Formed. If I'm not mistaken, there you need access to Formed, right? Like I know our parish, for instance, they give us some type of access code. If you do not have access, say, through your parish, how do you access Formed? Is it?
I should have started with that, so I'm glad you brought that up. So we work with a lot of parishes, over 6,000 in the United States. So what you should do is go to signup.form.org, and you can just type in your zip code and see if your parish is in the drop-down menu. And if so, you just click it.
Yep.
You get something shot directly to your email. You're in, no problem. Or you can sign up for an individual subscription by going to signup.form.org. So our hope is that most people can get this for free to themselves by their parish subscription.
Got it.
Or if your parish doesn't have it, you can talk to the pastor, have them reach out to us. Either an individual subscription or hopefully you can get free access through your parish.
No, in fact, it's fantastic. In essence, it's like Catholic YouTube, isn't it? You go there and there's all these things that come up. And like you said, either from saying the rosary to movies or documentaries, whatever the case is. And it's a really great way. We have it. We have access to it. And it's just a really great way, not just as an individual to grow, but as a family. You know, I'm father of five kids, and we have tapped into it regularly. So, folks, I encourage you to do the same. Taylor, switching gears, when you present You know, you're asked to speak at parishes, men's conferences, and so forth, retreats. What do the attendees want to hear from you most? I know they want to hear about your conversion story. They want to hear about, in fact, if nothing else, people just get energy. Like men's conference attendees, they just want to hear people that are on fire for the faith because it like re-energizes them. But being a former athlete, and you're invited to, you know, to try out for the national team and so forth, so you played at the highest level there is in our country in soccer. What do people want to hear from you most? Your conversion, life as a MLS player, what?
Those two things, really. Who doesn't love a good conversion story? So people love hearing, you know, especially because I didn't grow up religious, and then I became Catholic as an adult while I was playing professional soccer. Everyone's asking just kind of how did that happen, which is always a fun story to tell about how God has worked in my life. And then the other, especially when I'm talking to, like, high schoolers or some young adult and youth, is they want to hear about the locker room. What is it like playing professional sports? How did you get there? So my favorite thing to do now when I'm speaking is to try to combine the two to an extent. I really love to try to teach about the spiritual life through through sports metaphors, because everyone can understand sports.
That's right.
Even if you didn't play them, per se, people watch them, they understand them. So I've actually, like St. Paul, who says all runners run the race, but only one wins the prize, he used an athletic metaphor to teach a truth about the faith. So I've tried to like take stories from the locker room or things that I learned in my years playing, and then apply spiritual lessons about them, because I think it's a little more fun, you know, and it sticks a little bit that way. So it's very fun for me to do. I love thinking about my days playing and things that I've learned from my own experience or you know, things that I've seen through great players, and then kind of trying to teach a little bit about the faith through them. So I try to bring the two worlds together as much as I can.
I bet you do a good job, brother. You're doing a great job here. Before you go, when you talk about this, lessons from the field, who does this speak to most? Like youth, the athlete, the young athlete, men, women of the faith? Who would you say it speaks to most, that particular topic?
Hopefully it can speak to a lot of different people, but certainly athletes, I think, is a good start. And then really kind of young adults and those trying to take their faith, you know, either trying to understand their faith or try to really implement it, integrate it into their life. So what I'm doing in that talk is trying to take a look at some really fundamental things that I think are necessary for someone to be a good athlete. And then saying these are also necessary for your spiritual life. So my hope is that it's kind of entertaining. It's a different way of looking at things, and it can be helpful for people who are taking sports seriously, and then seeing how, hey, there's a much deeper hunger that you have, or those who are trying to kind of really take a next step in the faith and say, oh, here's some things that on the natural level have always proven to be true for growth. That's true in the spiritual life, and then here's kind of some ideas of how you can go about that task.
Outstanding. Brother, I thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you for being a great witness to the faith. I think it's fantastic what you've done, and it is clear that this is a true and living God, and he's very much alive in your life. And I am so thankful for people like you, and I'm thankful for you in particular, because you are doing a great job of either reverting people to the faith, and I bet any money you have no idea how many people that you've impacted and maybe even helped them convert to the faith. So thank you for being on the show. Thank you for all you do, brother. And I hope to talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks. It was a joy to be on. And I just hope it does some good. It's wonderful to kind of reminisce on these things and try to give glory to God in our lives.
Absolutely. Continue the good work. There you go,
thank
folks.
Thank you so much.
Taylor Kemp, former Major League Soccer player, convert to the faith, director of Formed in the Denver metro area. Look him up on CatholicSpeakers.com. Yours truly happens to be part of that same catalog of folks that can come speak to your men's group or parish, retreat, whatever the case is. All right, when there's cool music playing, that means we're going into a break or coming out of a break. Stay with us here on Faith and Sport. We got the quick Q&A with Dr. A coming up right after this.
Miles away, 20,000. teachers that care, professors that care about you. Just an awesome experience all around.
There's peace here. There's encouragement here.
Faculty, everybody that works here, they really set you up for success.
I don't think I have ever felt as loved and as supported and as encouraged as I have at the Abbey.
There's something here that's underlying and intrinsic. There's like a spirit of love and community. And I think the spirit is God's presence here.
Belmont Abbey College, a world away, but close to home. Visit us at belmontabbeycollege.edu.
Experience the incredible story of the woman who Time magazine named the most influential Catholic woman in the United States. Born Rita Rizzo, the future mother Angelica grew up in a rough neighborhood in Canton, Ohio. Young Rita experienced abandonment, rejection, and heartache, but God touched her through a woman named Rhoda Wise. Encounter this amazing woman at the Mother Angelica Museum. Plan your visit today at motherangelicamuseum.com.
Hey guys, it's Jason Murphy for the Obligation Radio Show. Make sure to tune in on Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. to catch our latest episodes. From kids to marriage to business and church to politics to current events, we discuss topics of faith and life to help you become the man, the father, the husband God is calling you to be. Catch replays streaming throughout the week and on demand over the Carolina Catholic Radio app or anytime at carolinacatholicradio.org. God bless and esto vir.
Romantics back in the early 1980s. All right, folks, thank you for joining us here on Faith in Sport. We're nearing the ending of the program. Boy, we've had two great guests, two different areas of expertise, but both, you can call them theologians. We just got off the phone with Taylor Kemp, a former professional soccer player, convert to the faith. He's given a lot of talks and presentations. So check out his profile on CatholicSpeakers.com. And the first part of our show, Gerald R. McDermott, a longtime theologian and philosophy professor. He's a PhD, written the author of many books. Check him out on Amazon, his articles and First Things and so forth. And so, Chris, if somebody is just joining us just now and they have interest in the two guests we just had and they want to check it out, one thing they can do is they can just go to the archives on Carolina Catholic Radio at carolinacatholicradio.org.
Actually, carolinacatholicmedia.org.
Yeah, there you go. And they can also go to YouTube, put in Faith in Sport, especially if you put the keyword of John Aquaviva. You can see the show in action. And you could go to, in particular, Radio Maria, and then they have their list of shows, and you can hear the past shows there. What are other ways?
One other way is to download the Carolina Catholic Media mobile app, and you can go to the Faith and Sport archives that way and listen to it on your phone. Absolutely free of charge.
Absolutely. And of course, at all times, they can just go to the website, and this is what truly makes any radio station now universal. All you have to do is go to the great thing called the internet. And then I think on virtually every radio station in the world, you can hit listen live.
That's right.
So it just used to be a couple of years ago, you had to listen to a podcast, you had to go to YouTube, whatever the case is. Now you can just hit listen live. And this show is broadcast every day on Carolina Catholic Radio.
That's right.
And it runs one or two times a week on Radio Maria. Either way, we're thankful that
you're here. That's right, and you can listen to John Aquaviva's voice so much till you get tired of hearing it in your head.
one of the things I want to mention before we get to the Q&A, brother, is why I love having people like Taylor Kemp on the show. And I've mentioned this before, but it's worth repeating every couple weeks. It's one thing to hear people of faith. It's one thing to hear people that are like strong characters. You know what I mean? Like they're successful in their job as a businessman, businesswoman. They're a coach of a team. They're pillars in the community. But I think in the place of faith, athletes have a special place, and this is why, because so many youth look up to them.
Right.
And they have seemingly everything, Chris. They have often fame. They often, right, goes with it. They have a lot of money. They have exposure or the opportunity to do many things in their life. And some of them, it's so easy to turn away from God. And God is still part of, I think, a lot of athletes' lives.
Right.
But the people who walk toward it and are still in their profession, or they finish their profession and they still have all these successes that came with it, including money, I think it's a great inspiration to the listener and in the audience when you go hear them present that despite of all those things that they have that are of this world, they still found God.
Right.
And that is a, I think, a great motivator for people to at least take a second look at, why do I need a relationship with God? This person has everything. Why did they turn to God? And I think that's a good question to investigate in your heart.
Right.
So I am thankful for Taylor Kemp and all of the athletes that have joined me on this show. I'm very thankful for that. All right, Chris, we have a few minutes left, and there's a couple issues that are worth discussing. We usually cover different issues in the world of sport, in particular the world of faith and sport, through the quick Q&A with Dr. A. What's the first question?
First up, your thoughts on the recent news of Philadelphia Flyers hockey player Ivan Provorov.
That's right. Did you hear about this?
No, I don't think I've heard about
this. No kidding? Okay, so this is a great story. It was really big for about 5 minutes. So he plays on the Philadelphia Flyers. He is a really good player with them. He's of Russian Orthodox background, his faith. And the NHL has continued this. It's an annual pride warm-up night. And, of course, when we hear that word pride, it goes back to that issue we were talking about with Dr. McDermott, and that is this LGBTQ community or movement,
right?
The rainbow flag and all that stuff is associated with pride. And on the night that they were playing the Anaheim Ducks, this is about a week ago, he refused to participate in the warm-up because all of the players that were participating in the warm-up, they wore different jerseys. Remember, this is just the warm-up where they're skating on their half of the ice. They're warming up, skating, going forwards and backwards, shooting pucks, you know, the goalies fending off shots and all that. But he refused to go out there because every player either had like a jersey on that was kind of rainbow-colored, or on the tape of the end of their hockey stick would be that rainbow color.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wanted nothing to do with this. You haven't heard anything about this, huh?
I think I have. And
okay.
Maybe this is going on in other sports, too.
Yeah, it definitely has. But this was interesting for a couple reasons. He refused to go out there for this warm-up.
Mm-hmm.
And because he refused to be a part of this, it was a story, first of all. But it was also controversial, in particular, in the gay community. And some people went as far to say, because he refused to participate in this pride warm-up night, that they sent, I saw this one posting on social media, Chris, that said this individual, Ivan Provorov, should have been benched, not only that game, but indefinitely by the coach. And I'm like thinking, boy, they really don't get what freedom of speech and freedom of religion is all about.
Yeah.
In fact, it's just the opposite. The way they're thinking. Dr. McDermott talked about this. He said, that's a sign of Marxism. If you say to somebody, you cannot say that and defend something, an action or some type of policy, if you cannot speak out against it, because in this country, in sport, we need to have freedom of speech and freedom of religion. He didn't say anything hateful. He didn't say anything bad. He just said, my religious belief, my faith, tells me not to support this policy
right.
that the NHL has of this Pride Night. This comes from a NHL analyst in which he said, Ivan can get on a plane any day he wants and go back to a place where he feels more comfortable, referring to Russia. Take less money and get on with his life, and that way, if that's problematic for him. If this is that much of a problem for him, to maybe assimilate into his group of teammates and in the community and here in this country, that's okay. Listen, you can feel any way you want, but the beauty is, if it bothers you that much, there's always a chance to leave, go back to where you feel more comfortable. Clearly, he was trying to be diplomatic, but he's saying to him, I disagree with you, so therefore really go back to where you came from. And this is, this lacks knowledge, this lacks insight, and certainly this lacks one of the very basic premises of our culture, that you have freedom of speech and there's freedom of religion. And yeah, he's citing, he didn't say anything bad or anything negative about the gay community. He just said, I don't want to be a part of this. This is against, why do we have such a hard time in professing free speech when we want to be heard, that somebody else says something that we disagree with, that we can't allow them to say what they said? It's in this case, being against this Pride Night. And shame on the NHL, because all they do when you do this is, we could assume at least 25%, maybe even up to 50% of the people don't agree with it, but they're rookies on the team. They barely made the roster that year. They're trying to hang on for one more year, and they don't want to rock the boat. Isn't it possible, NHL, that everybody doesn't agree with your Pride Night? Why don't we have anti-abortion night? Why don't we have other nights, so to speak, that kind of make up this all these social policies that are in our mainstream, that are on social media? Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
This is frustrating to hear, but thankfully, a lot of people, social media primarily, came to his defense, including the Flyers coach, John Tortorella, defended him and said, listen, he has no concerns. This is somewhat controversial, but he has no concerns. And he is free to say these things. And he said, I don't think this is going to impact the locker room. And he said he did nothing wrong. Quote, just because you don't agree with his decision doesn't mean he did anything wrong. And that is absolutely truth. Mm-hmm. And our culture has stepped onto this podium of, if you don't agree with me, then you need to be silenced.
Yeah, you're wrong. You don't support this or agree with this.
Yeah.
You're wrong. Get
who,
out
who
of here.
Who are you to say that? What if I said that about the way you feel? You would resent the heck out of that. You'd get mad.
Right.
You would protest. And there'd probably be some fist thrown at by some people. Jiminy crickets. All right. Chris, can you tell I feel strongly about that?
A little bit.
All right, brother. We have a couple minutes left. There's a second question. Throw that one at me.
Yep. The second question is, should all refs be mic'd?
Mic'd. Did you hear about this one? There was a talking head on ESPN, and there was a controversial call made in an NBA game by a referee. And the situation wasn't mic'd, but people that were near the court, the fans, the coaches, the players, once in a blue moon, or once every once in a while, I should say, the referee bites back, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody disagrees with his call. Somebody disagrees with what he said, and they were kind of berating him, and he said something back. And this ESPN talking head said, I think they should be mic'd, and we should be able to kind of evaluate them. And I'm thinking, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
We need to – this heat of the moment exchanges that take place, these guys got a really difficult job. Mm-hmm. Yes, they're talented. Yes, they get paid a lot of money for that. But I think that's a really bad job. And what I would say is, let's mic you. You're behind the mic, but let's mic you in the breaks. Let's see what you say about what's going on in the world. Let's see what you say. People would not want to be mic'd in their job.
No.
That would be an awful, awful thing to do. And further, okay, you want to ref the mic? Why don't we ref the coaches? Why don't we ref all the players? See what they say to them to start any type of bickering or argument that's being had.
Right.
That's a really, really bad idea to mic. And of course, there's a lot of scrutiny there. I just think it's unfair just to point directly at the referees. And it's interesting is this guy really said that thinking it was a good idea, but never once going, well, maybe whatever trouble has started was started by somebody else, right? It was started by the coach, or it was started by the player, or people in the stands. Some ugly stuff happens at sporting events between the ref and everybody else. Those guys are on an island by themselves. There's three guys, and there's around, at a big basketball game, for instance, there's around 15 to 20,000 people against them. Because one of the things about refs is that they say the biggest compliment they can get is that nobody talks about them. In other words, they've done their job, right? Mm-hmm. but to mic them and to hear every last word that they utter under their breath or otherwise, oh, man, not a good idea.
Yeah, could you imagine some of the things that would be said at NFL games if you had all the mic refs
on the
mic?
Place.
Yeah.
No, we wouldn't want to hear that. I think it'd be equal for any sport, right? We'd hear some awful stuff out of the coaches. We'd hear some awful stuff out of the players as well as the referees.
Sometimes you can read the coach's lips and
tell
what they're saying without them being
right. In fact, sometimes they'll have a camera right on a coach and he'll start to swear and immediately they'll go, "Hey, let's check out the guy eating a hot dog and chips in section 142, right?
Yeah.
All right, folks, we're in the final minute. Before we go, I always like to give a quote from a Pope on sport, and Pope Francis said, "Sport means to reject all forms of selfishness and isolation. It's an opportunity to meet and be with others, to help each other, to compete in mutual esteem, and grow in brotherhood." Love that. There's a lot to be said from that. Listen, before we go, special thank you to Dr. Jerry McDermott, to Taylor Kemp for joining me on the show today. Chris, thank you for all you do as the producer of this show, the producer of other shows. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Please join us next time here on Carolina Catholic Radio and Radio Maria for more faith and sport. St. Sebastian, pray for us.
You've been listening to Faith and Sport on Carolina Catholic Radio, Charlotte, 1270 AM. Also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic mobile app. We've also been broadcasting across the Radio Maria broadcasting area. I want to thank all of you for tuning in for this edition of Faith and Sport. And we want to invite you back here for more Faith and Sport next week at this same time here on Carolina Catholic Radio and Media and Radio Maria. And as always, make sure when you visit Carolina Catholic Radio or carolinacatholicmedia.org or the mobile app to hit that Donate Now button to help keep Faith and Sport on the air.